Have you ever had trouble with forgiveness? I mean, maybe something somebody has done something to you, and you just really, really had a hard time forgiving them for what they had done. So, you know, you were really, wanting to actually, get a pound of flesh, as it were. But then I want you to think about it this way as well. Has it ever been reversed? Has there ever been a time when you needed somebody's forgiveness and they were withholding that from you, and you know how that made you feel? Well, today we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture that's talking about those who are unforgiving. And once again, we're going to be looking at another one of the parables of our Father. So grab your Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 18. We'll be back in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us this evening. A moment ago I mentioned that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and we're going to be continuing our look at the parables of Christ, and we're going to be looking at the parable of the unforgiving servant. Now, just a moment ago, I asked you if there had been a circumstance or a situation in your life where you found it difficult to forgive someone, or maybe you're in that situation where you desperately want somebody's forgiveness and they are withholding that from you. Well, this parable addresses exactly that situation. Remember, the Bible gives us the answers to everything that we need. So look with me, if you would, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. We're going to begin reading at verse 23. That's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning with verse 23. It says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Verse 32, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to just guide us and speak to our hearts as we take this time to gather around your word. Father, I pray that you will help each and every one of us, particularly when it comes to this area of forgiveness. It can often be a difficult area in our lives to deal with and to contend with. But I pray today, Father, that we would learn from your word, that we might grow in grace and in strength of your word, that we might be exactly what you want us to be to all those that are around us. Help us to be an example of a loving Father. So, Father, as we go through these passages today, speak to our hearts as only you can. Use this, your servant, as your messenger for these moments. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we get a look at this particular unforgiving servant. And in the first part of these passages, what we have to understand is what we're dealing with. Now, I know either last week or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about what a talent represented. Now, remember, there were two measures of money that are actually spoken of in this particular parable. The first one, it says, now let's go back to our scriptures in verse 23, it says in verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain man who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now remember, that's something that's key. Because one talent was equal to about 20 years of salary. So here's a guy who owed him 10,000 talents. That is an astronomical fee. It is a fee that could not be paid back, even if this man wanted to pay it back. It's just going to be one of those things that just seems so impossible. Now, I want you to hold that thought for just a minute, because there's another monetary value that's mentioned a little bit later on in this scripture, and it is a denarii. Now, a denarii was equal to one day's wages, okay? See the difference? You know, 10 to 20 years, depending on the Bible scholar and the history that you look at, a talent was 10 to 20 years worth of pay, whereas a denarii was one day's pay. So keep that in mind as we continue a look in this particular passage that we're dealing with today in Matthew chapter 18. So in this parable, we have to understand who the players are. Remember, a parable is a story that Jesus used to share with his followers and his disciples to drive home a biblical or a scriptural type of a point. It was a story they could understand. So in this parable, the king is representation of God's boundless mercy. You know, the servant owed an unpayable debt. Remember, we talked about how large that debt was. And this was symbolizing the gravity of the sin that's in our lives. As we read that today, when it comes down to sin, this is a debt that you and I cannot pay. But keep that in mind as we go through this particular passage, that the king, which is really easy to remember that one because it is representation of God's boundless and endless mercy. So the king's compassion showcases God's readiness to forgive our sins without any reservations when we humble ourselves before him. So remember what happened. Well, the king came to this first guy who had that debt that he could not pay back. And he began to beg the king. He began to say, look, yeah, be patient with me. I will pay you back all. Now, that's kind of interesting as well, because there was no way that he could pay it all back. But it was very interesting what we learned in this passage. But it said that the king had compassion on him. What a great word. Man, we could do a whole series on compassion. I've stated before, particularly in our church, that as my life has progressed, one of the things that I see of less in our society today is compassion towards other people in so many different ways. But this king had compassion on this man, knowing he could not repay this debt, because he came humbly before him. He fell at his feet. He begged him and he said, give me time. He didn't ask for forgiveness of the debt. He asked for time. He said, I'll pay it all back to you. But anyway, the compassion of the king saw this man's humility before him. And not only did he say, he didn't just say, I'm going to give you more time. The debt was canceled. And man, what an example of God's grace in erasing our transgressions and our sins before him. So he said, you know what? I feel sorry for this guy. Go ahead and get up on your feet. Don't worry about paying me back. I know you can't pay me back. Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me back. You are free from your debt. Now, I want you to take this just a moment, as we go through our scripture to reflect on the magnitude of God's forgiveness in your own life. I want you to think about the things that God has forgiven you from. You know, how has understanding God's mercy changed the way that you interact with him as well as with other people? You know, too many times we're at that point where we sit back and we certainly want to see God's grace and forgiveness when it is applied towards us. But sometimes we have trouble with it when it comes to us applying it to other people. So I want you to reflect on that. I want you to reflect on the magnitude of God's forgiveness. He forgives us a debt that we cannot repay when it comes down to our salvation and so many other things along the way. And then I want you to think about how you have applied that in your particular life as you're dealing with other people as you go about your daily activities. So that's one of the big things we want to understand out of today's parable. Another thing we want to understand out of today's parable is that the servant, the one that was forgiven, had a lack of compassion. We find that in our scripture text in verses 28 through 30. Now, despite the king's mercy, the servant fails to extend that same compassion to his fellow servant who owed him a much smaller debt. Now, again, when you begin to think about it, if you try to place yourself into that story, let's just say for the sake of example that the first fella owed $100 million to his master. It was a debt that he was never going to be able to repay. The king, in his compassion, forgives him. Then what he does is he goes out and finds another fella who owed him some money. And it would, let's say that it would be equal to the cost of purchasing a Mountain Dew. And he says, hey, look, man, you need to pay me for that Mountain Dew I bought you last week. And the guy's like, hey, look, man, I don't have any money, but I promise you I'll pay you, you know, as soon as I get the money. And it says that he grabbed him by the throat and he was going to have the same thing done to him that the king said he was going to do to him. He said, I'm gonna take all your stuff. I'm gonna sell it. I'm gonna put you in prison. I'm gonna make your kids indentured servants and all these sort of things. So you have to understand, there was one debt was huge and was forgiven, and that same man who had been forgiven that huge debt was unwilling to forgive his buddy over a much, much smaller debt. Now, this behavior highlights essentially his ingratitude for what he has. You know, in other words, he is not sensitive to his to the fella who owed him the Mountain Dew, and he was just so ungrateful. His actions essentially serve as a mirror to each and every one of us, you know, reflecting moments when we might have failed to extend forgiveness to others. Think about that for just a minute. Are there times in your life, maybe even now, that there's somebody who needs your forgiveness? Maybe they've even come to you and said, hey, look, you know what? I was wrong about this, or I did you wrong, or whatever it may have been, and I'm asking you to forgive me, and yet you haven't done it. Yeah, you may have given some lip service to it, but you really never forgave them. Now, folks, I want to tell you right now that it is true what the Bible tells us, that our spirit bears witness one with another. Now, we are required. The Word doesn't say that you just should forgive your brother of their sins. It says that you are required to forgive as God has forgiven you. Now, I know that when I reflect on those things in my life, God has forgiven me of much greater things in my life. So there's no need for me to sit back and to hold aught against a brother or to have unforgiveness against another brother. I look at it in the fashion of what the Bible says. The Bible says the Lord has been compassionate and gracious to me to forgive me, and therefore he says that I should be compassionate and gracious towards my fellow brethren and forgive them, okay? So today I want you to consider maybe that person or that situation in your life. Consider who might be in need of your forgiveness. You know, somebody that maybe has essentially asked you for that forgiveness and you've withheld it, or you have been avoiding them. You know, who, by the way, as I've said that, it's already come to your heart or your mind. The Holy Spirit has already placed them within your heart and within your thoughts, even before I even asked this question. See, are there minor offenses that you are holding against others? Yeah, we need to seek God's strength to forgive just as he has forgiven each and every one of us. You need to grant forgiveness in the same manner that God has forgiven you. So a third thing that we want to see out of today's parable is the king's justice. And we find that in verses 31 through 34. You see, the king's actions upon learning of the servant's behavior demonstrated the balance of mercy and justice. Now, that's one thing that too many people sit back and say. They always say, look, somebody has wronged me. I want justice, okay? But think about the aspect of mercy as well. What does mercy mean? How do we define mercy? Mercy is defined as us not receiving what we should receive. So when you grant mercy to somebody, they don't receive what they actually should receive. They instead receive forgiveness. Now, there is a fine line. Now, and God is perfect at this. You know, remember this. And what we see here in this particular parable is that the king had this balance between demonstrating mercy as well as justice. So back to our story. We know what happened. The one who had the tremendous debt, the king had compassion and showed mercy on him and forgave him. Then that same guy goes out, calls one of his buddies on the carpet who owes him a more minor debt. I mean, it wasn't anything compared to what the first servant owed, and yet he refused to forgive him. So word gets back. You know, word got back to the master what this servant who had been forgiven a ton had done to the one who needed just a little bit of the forgiveness. And what happens was he calls him on the carpet and he said, "Hey, look, man," he said, "I forgave you." He said, "Yeah, I had compassion upon you and forgave you. Should you not show that same action to somebody else who is in need of that particular forgiveness?" You see, God's grace doesn't excuse us from the responsibility of extending forgiveness. You got to understand that. Too many people feel justified in being able to hold aught against somebody or to withhold forgiveness from them. But God's grace, remember what grace is, God's unmerited favor. His grace does not excuse us from the responsibility of us extending that forgiveness. In the way that we have received forgiveness from the Father, God asked us to extend that forgiveness to those in our lives, to those that are around us, to those who need it, and even to those who don't need it, we're to extend that forgiveness. You see, the king's reaction emphasizes the seriousness of an unforgiving spirit in God's eyes. God does not like an unforgiving spirit. You know, I often think back to the passage that we read about in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7. This was a lesson I learned when I was younger, and I really try to make application to it every single day of my life. But he says that we should judge not lest we be judged. And he goes on to say, so what's going to happen is if we're judgmental to people, he said, the same standard of judgment that you are using against your fellow brethren, I'll use that standard to judge you by. Now, I've said so many times, I have been forgiven of so much in my life. I certainly want the easiest measure of judgment on me. And the Lord says, okay, you know what? If that's the measure you're going to use, if it's good enough for you to use on somebody else, then that will be the same measure I will use on you. Now, I know that Matthew chapter 7 is talking about judgment, and yet over here, you know, we are talking about forgiveness. And I know they're two different things, but the same rule applies. We are supposed to, according to the Word of God, grant that forgiveness to those that are in our lives. We are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Okay, so today I want you to evaluate your own response to those who wrong you. Now, I can tell you right now, there are people who wrong you. There are people in your workplace who have wronged you. There are people in your neighborhood who have wronged you. There are fellow students and workers and people that you interact with. Even church people have wronged you. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. A lot of times people say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with church or that particular church because I had a bad experience and people hurt me. And you know what? Maybe they did. But are we able to extend to them forgiveness, even if they don't ask for it? You see, the Word of God doesn't tell us that we should only forgive when those people come seeking forgiveness from us. It says that we're supposed to forgive anyway. You know, you don't want to attach yourself to the sin of somebody else, and that's exactly what you do when you withhold forgiveness from them. You know, how can you ensure that your actions reflect both mercy and justice of God? Think about it for just a moment. I mean, I think those are some big questions that we need to ask along the way when it comes down to it. Now, as we think about this particular parable, the parable of the unforgiving servant serves as a profound reminder of God's immense grace and the responsibility that comes with it. You see, our forgiveness should mirror the unconditional forgiveness that we receive from God. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that there's probably somebody in your life that the Holy Spirit has already put their name or their face across your vision or your heart as we have been talking about these passages. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now that you need to truly grant them forgiveness, that you need to truly not hold against them. You need to extend the grace that God has extended you, you need to extend that into their life. The forgiveness that God has extended you, you should extend into their lives, okay? Yet we need to pray that God gives us a heart that's more aligned with God's desire for mercy. Yeah, I remember back when I was in elementary school, one of the games we used to play before we got into this world of technology was a game that was actually called Mercy. Now, some of you all will remember it fondly, and some of you will look down at your hand and remember it not so fondly because you broke your fingers or something. But the game was called Mercy, and you would essentially lock hands with one of your friends or whatever. And the idea was that you would try to bend their hand back to the point where when it got so painful, they would say mercy. And when they would say mercy, then at that point, you would release that grip on them. I still remember playing that when I was in elementary school, and that's exactly what mercy is. Yeah, mercy is not giving somebody what they really deserve. Yeah, and God grants us mercy on a daily basis and in so many activities and so many things going on. So as He grants that mercy and that forgiveness and that grace to us, He requires us to grant that to those that are in our sphere of influence and the people that we interact with on a daily basis, and not go away regarding them with unforgiveness and saying, you know what, if you only knew what they did, you wouldn't forgive them either. God has no category when it comes down to that. He says you are required, according to the Word of God, to grant forgiveness to those folks, okay? Can you regularly meditate on God's forgiveness in your life as a foundation for extending grace towards others? See, remember, a forgiving heart is a reflection of the loving and merciful nature of God Himself. You see, when we extend those character traits that God has extended to us, then people see Him rather than us in the midst of those situations. Now, like I said, you know, when I started our Bible study today, you may not be the one who is withholding forgiveness. There may be somebody that is withholding forgiveness from you. You can't dictate what other people do, but what you can do is you can seek their forgiveness. At that particular point, the ball is in their court. Maybe you are that person today that's watching, and you have been withholding forgiveness. You have been withholding grace. You have been withholding mercy from somebody in your life that the Holy Spirit has already called out. Today is the day that you pray and allow God to help you to extend those godly traits to those people in your life. You know, even if it's to go up and say, you know what? Yeah, I know what you did to me. You know what you did to me. You know, I have had aught in my heart. I have not forgiven you of that. But as best I can, by the grace of God, today, I want you to know that I forgive you for what you've done. Now, some people may take that well. Some people may not. Some people may sit back and say, "Why? How dare you? You know, I don't think I was wrong in what I did." Whatever the case may be, you have to have that right between you and God. Once you do, you can be free from the sin of somebody else. You don't want to be that person who has that burden of conviction in your life because you haven't been what God has called you to be as one of His children. Can we do that today? Can we begin that right now? Listen, don't let time erode what the Holy Spirit has placed in your heart. You know, we're going to pray in just a minute for a heart that is more aligned with God's desire for mercy. And remember, we need to remember this. This is not just something that you do today. This is something that you need to practice and put in practice so that it becomes a part of who you are in your everyday life. And you need to regularly meditate on how God has forgiven you and all the sins He's forgiven you so that you might in turn be forgiving to those who are the sinners in your life, and those who have sinned against you. And may we truly be examples of God's grace that others may see Him in us and desire that for themselves. Could you do that? That's exactly what we're going to pray for here in just a moment. But right now, I want to tell you what we're going to be looking at in our scriptures for next, or actually our scripture reading for this week. This week, we're actually going to be reading in Mark chapter 13. So I want you to spend a little time in Mark chapter 13. Next week, we will discuss how the servant must remain watchful. And that comes out of the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. So that's where we're going to be looking at next week as we continue our look at the parables. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, again, we thank you so much for your forgiveness in our lives. Lord, I pray that that you would truly help us in all that we say and all that we do to magnify you. Lord, may we truly be examples of your forgiveness and your grace, particularly in the lives of those who have wronged us. May they see you living in us and desire to have what we have. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us. I know that for some, this is going to be a very, very difficult matter. I pray for grace and strength and wisdom as they go about forgiving somebody of some wrong that had been done to them. And Lord, I just pray that as they do, that you will fill them with everything that you are. And Lord, may the weight of the world come off of their shoulders as they're obedient to your word and as they're obedient to your will. So, Father, right now, we just ask that you give us a great week. Help us to be the hands and the feet of the Master everywhere we go and in everything we say. May it lift you up that you might draw others unto you. So, Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge. We would love to have you come visit with us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. And we do have a website. You'll see it there on your screen. You can go there, find out a little bit more about us. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. Each Sunday, and we have multiple discipleship opportunities throughout the week for you. We do have Sunday school. We've got some small groups that you could be a part of. We have an Awana program that's discipleship for the children during the school years. And we would just certainly love to have you come and join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church on Sunday morning. If you do, be sure to come by and say, hey, look, you know, I've been watching you on the Wednesday Bible study. I just wanted to introduce myself. So I'll be looking forward to that. God bless you. Have a great, great week.